Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello, welcome back to Discover the Wonders. Today we are talking about coins. So we have a lost coin in the Bible, and we have some other stories about coins. And, you know, a long time ago, coins had a whole lot more value than they do today. Today, coins aren't worth a whole lot. But in these stories, they were worth a whole lot more. So first we have the story in the Bible about the lost coin. And Jesus was telling these stories. And these stories show us how much God values people. People have a lot of value to God, even just one person. And so Jesus is telling these stories. He actually told three different ones about things or people that were lost. So he's telling parables. So these parables are not necessarily true stories. They're stories that teach a lesson. So Jesus was a very good teacher. He didn't just say, you know, do this, do that. Jesus looked around him and he would use the things that he saw to teach people. So he spoke at their level in an interesting way. So in this story, he's telling a story. So Jesus told a lot of stories which explained what he was teaching and made it really clear to those who were listening. So he told this little story about a housewife who owned 10 silver coins. And I don't know how much these would have been worth, but they must have been worth a lot. But one day she finds she's only got 9 coins now. So one of them is lost. So what is she going to do? Is she going to think, oh well, I've still got 9? Or is she going to make the effort to try to find it? And that's what she does do. She goes to a lot of effort searching for this one coin. And so in the Bible days, the houses would have been a bit different from our houses, and they didn't have electricity. So their houses could have been a lot darker than ours. And so she gets a lamp and she shines it into the corners. So she's searching with a lamp, trying to find this coin. Then she gets a broom and she sweeps the floor. And finally, she sees that coin and she's so happy she's found the lost coin because it had a lot of value to her. She's so happy she goes and invites her friends to come and celebrate with her. And she tells them the whole story. And Jesus said, this is how God feels about a sinner who turns back to him. The angels in heaven are happy and all of heaven is filled with joy. So this story shows us the value of just one person to God, and that we're a bit like that lost coin. But when we turn from our sin, when we put our trust in Jesus and confess our sins to God, then it's like we're found by God and all of heaven rejoices. That's the value of just one person. So I'm going to sing a little song called I Was Lost in Sin When Jesus Found Me. Well, actually it's called It Was a Glad Day When Jesus Found Me.
I was lost in sin and shame. It was Jesus found me when his strong arms were thrown around me, when my sins he buried in the deepest sea, and my soul he filled with joy and victory. 'Twas a glad day, oh hallelujah, 'twas a glad day.
So now I have a really nice story called The Two Coins. And this is a story about God providing for a family. So the sun shone brightly on a little group seated outside a cottage door. There was Anne, a widow, and two children. Mary Anne was 11 and little Henry was just 4. When father died, poor Anne had to work hard to provide for her little family. But sickness had overtaken her, and now her scanty savings were gone. Her last penny had been spent for bread, and they were down to the last slice. Poor Anne wept bitterly as she cut it in two and gave half to Henry and half to Mary Anne. "Why are you crying so, mother?" asked Mary Anne as she put her arms lovingly around her mother's neck. "Because I don't know what I shall give you tomorrow." "Oh, mother, God will take care of that. Don't you trust in him now? You always used to." But poor Anne could not seem to rise above her sorrow. "Mother," continued Mary Anne, "God can send us something to eat before tomorrow. Only today our teacher told us of his kindness and of the many different ways he helps us. He said we should never despair." And then he opened his Bible at the place where the people murmured against God in the desert and thought they would starve and did not believe that God would make bread for them. Mother, shall I read you that story? Mary Anne ran into the house to get her Bible and sat down to read. "Oh, God doesn't work miracles anymore," said her mother. "But why not, mother? Isn't he just as mighty now as he used to be?" Mary Anne sat down at her mother's feet, and when she began to read, tears rolled down Anne's cheek as she listened to the wonderful story of how the Lord cared for his murmuring people. Gradually, her sorrow grew less bitter, and she felt as if a weight had been taken from her heart. It was indeed a sweet picture, the mother with her children seeking the Lord. Just at that moment, a young man coming down a path out of the wood stood still with speechless delight. He gazed for a moment at the group and then took a small black book and pencil and began to sketch. Not one of the small family had noticed him. Still and motionless, they sat there listening intently while Mary read. The young artist worked on without disturbance until Mary came to the end of the chapter. Then looking at her mother, she said, "Cannot God send us something to eat?" "Oh, yes, my child," replied Anne, "for with God all things are possible. and she gently kissed her little girl. But this interruption did not suit the painter, who had just been sketching the figure of the young child reading the Bible. Hastily he ran to her and took hold of her arm, saying, "Oh, please, just remain quiet for another moment." The three were startled, not understanding what he wanted. Seeing their astonishment, he took a large coin out of his purse and said, "I am an artist and should very much like to have your picture in my book, but just as you were sitting before. I give you this coin and I'll add another if you would remain quiet for an hour. Then I shall have finished my sketch." The poor family stared at him and tears of joy filled Anne's eyes. Had not God sent bread, as it were, from heaven? And on Mary's beaming face the same thought might have been read. "Mother, mother," she whispered, "is not God good?" And then she allowed the painter to set her again on the old trunk at her mother's feet, where she again took the Bible and put it on her lap. "Read as you did before," said the young man. And Mary, opening her Bible to Psalm 108, read, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." Before the hour had passed, the painter had completed his picture, which he showed to them. At the same time, he put down the second piece of money. They now had enough to buy food for more than 2 weeks, and by that time Anne would be strong enough and able to work. Oh, how she prayed and thanked God! So God showed his care for the widow and the fatherless. Their faith was strengthened and their needs were supplied. Now I have another story called The Gold Coin. A good many years ago, a merchant missed from his cash drawer a gold piece. No one had been to the drawer except a young clerk whose name was Weston. The merchant had sent him there to make change for a customer, and the next time the drawer was opened, the gold piece had disappeared. Naturally, Weston was suspected of having stolen it, and more especially as he appeared a few days afterwards in a new suit of clothes. Being asked where he'd brought the clothes, Weston gave the name of the tailor without hesitation. The merchant went privately to make inquiries and discovered that Weston had paid for the suit with a $10 gold piece. That afternoon, the young clerk was called into the merchant's private room and charged with the theft. "It is useless to deny it," the merchant said. "You have betrayed yourself with these new clothes, and now the only thing you can do is to make a full confession of your fault." Weston listened with amazement. He could hardly believe at first that such an accusation could be brought against him. But when he saw that his employer was serious, he denied it indignantly and declared that the money he had spent for the clothes had been a gift to him. The merchant sneered at such an explanation. "Who was it who gave the money to you? Produce the person," he demanded. "It was a lady," answered Weston, "and I cannot produce her, for she died last spring. I can tell you her name." "Can you bring me anybody that saw her give you the money or knew of your having it?" asked the merchant. "No, I can't do that," Weston had to answer. "I've never told anyone about the gift, for she didn't wish me to, but I have a letter from her somewhere in which she speaks of sending the money if I have not lost it." "I dare say you have lost it," the merchant sneered. "When you have found it, sir, you can bring it to me, and then I will believe your story." Weston went home with a heavy heart. He had no idea where the letter was. He couldn't be sure that he hadn't thrown it away, and yet unless he could produce it, his character was ruined, for he saw that the merchant was fully convinced of his guilt, and appearances indeed were sadly against him. But Weston knew the Lord Jesus as a saviour, and this wasn't the first time he'd gone to him with his burdens. He went home, got down on his knees, and unburdened his heart to the Lord. He then began to overhaul the contents of his desk and trunk and closet. He kept his papers neatly, and it didn't take long to see the letter was not among them. He sat down with a sense of despair when he was convinced of this. What else could he do? Again he got down on his knees and asked the Lord for help, guidance and strength to endure whatever trouble God might choose to send upon him. When he got up from his knees, he happened to catch his foot in an old rug that he had nailed down to the carpet because it was always curling at the edges. The nail at the corner had come out, and stooping down to straighten the rug, he saw a bit of paper peeping out. He pulled it from its hiding place, and it was the letter. How it got there, he didn't know. The fact that he'd found it was enough for him. His heart went out in thanksgiving and praise to the Lord for such deliverance. Weston brought the letter to his employer. It proved his innocence, and he apologized. A month later, the gold piece was found in Mr. Finch's own overcoat pocket. He had never put it in the cash drawer at all. Weston kept his job with a raise in salary. Now, here are two promises from the Bible. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That's from Psalms 50, verse 15. And another one is, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Psalms 55, verse 22. So these are promises that if we call to God and pray to him when we're in trouble, he will help us. Now I have a story called The Message on the Coin. From the moving caboose, I noticed a man standing beside the rails, his arms stretched out. We were riding slowly down the track in the Irving Railroad Yard on a through freight to Sherman. As it was obvious he had something for us, as we approached, I held out my hand. In it, he left a small metal coin. I turned it over to look at both sides. I'd never seen anything like it before. I was flabbergasted. While in the service, I lived in sinful ways. Many times I wanted God, but I realize now I didn't find him because I wanted myself more. I didn't want to give myself up. Back in civilian life, I began work on the Frisco Railroad. At this time, I became very depressed. One day it even occurred to me that suicide was the way out. I thought it over, trying to think how to take my life without causing embarrassment to my family. But then I met Utah Rogers. It was he who gave me the coin that day on the caboose. It didn't have any value, like in money, but it was covered with fine writing. I read the words, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Acts 2:21. "My, my," I said to myself, "this is really something." I was kind of flabbergasted, you know, yet at the same time I was encouraged. This was the beginning. Utah Rogers began handing me coins and literature whenever he'd see me. I really didn't know what to think of him, but I was interested in this type of person because it seemed he knew what he was talking about. Besides, he was so sincere, kind, and helpful. I decided to change my way of life and try to play the role of a Christian. So I went to church and I took my family. I actually became one of the leaders in the church, but all the time I knew I wasn't right. Utah kept plugging away at me. Finally, one day I decided to do what the coin said and call on the Lord Jesus Christ for help. I realized I'd come to the end. There was nothing I could do to help myself, but the Lord Jesus had done it all for me. He was just waiting for me to give into him. Do you know, as soon as I called on him, he came into my heart just as he said he would. I knew right then that I had eternal life and that I was saved. The load of guilt was lifted. My sins were gone forever. It was a battle, but I had it out with the Lord and I've been a happy man ever since. He speaks to my heart as I read my Bible each day. It is the most wonderful thing in the world to have a Savior and friend like Jesus. Utah and I are co-workers for the Lord on the Frisco, and we want others to know and love Christ too, to have eternal life. On the railroad, we don't have a regular schedule, but we often stop what we're doing and say, "Let's gather around and give thanks to the Lord." I find there is real encouragement in this. My strength comes from the Lord. And this is a Bible verse from Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So that guy on the railroad was like that lost coin. But in that story, it shows us what to do to be found by God, to call on the name of the Lord. We just have to pray and talk to God and confess our sin to him and put our trust in Jesus. And then we'll be like a found coin. I'm just going to sing this song called Since the Savior Found Me.
Since the Savior found me, pardoned all my sins, I have had the joy and living hope within. Gone is all the shame and the sorrow of the past. They're underneath the precious blood of Christ.
Now I have a story called The Hard Way, and this is about how sometimes the easy way, well, sometimes doing what's wrong seems the easy way. Maybe telling a lie seems like the easy way to get out of a problem, but this story shows us that it's actually the hard way. In the long run, the easy way is doing what's right and being honest and confessing what we've done wrong. So the story is called The Hard Way. Frank, I have one more errand for you, then you may go and play the rest of the afternoon. Yes, Father, thanks. What is it you want me to do? Frank's father went behind the counter and drew out a little drawer. The man handed his son a silver dollar and said, "You may carry this to Widow Boardman. Be careful not to lose it." "I'll be careful," promised Frank, and then went out the door. It was the first day of the holidays. The boy felt happy as he trudged along the road. He was thinking of the good days ahead, 2 weeks and no school. Perhaps the pleasant day, the fresh air and the sunshine had something to do with making him feel happy. Something else helped to make Frank happy, although he wasn't thinking about it. He had tried his best to do right. It makes a wonderful difference when we know we're doing our best and we're doing what's right. Mrs. Boardman lived some distance up the road. Frank had already passed the schoolhouse and the little pond and was passing the willow grove when suddenly he decided to make a whistle to blow along the way. So putting the dollar in his jacket pocket, he climbed over the fence and cut several willow twigs. He went along with the twigs in his hand until he reached a log lying on a grass plot by the roadside. Here he sat down and made two whistles. They sounded wonderful to Frank's ears. As he shut the widow's gate, Frank put his hand in his pocket to take out the dollar so he might have it ready to hand her when she came to the door. It was not there. Thinking he'd felt in the wrong pocket, he put his hand in the other, fully expecting to feel the dollar between his fingers. It was not there. Frank felt alarmed. Could he have lost it? He searched carefully in every pocket, but the dollar was lost. He turned around and went slowly back, looking carefully along the road for the lost dollar. He searched around the log, in the willow grove, by the roadside, every step of the way, but no dollar was to be seen. He went over the road again with no better success. Finally, he sat down on the log to consider what he should do. The dollar was lost, there was no doubt about that. His father had told him to be careful and he hadn't been. Now what should he do? His first thought was to go back to the store and tell his father all about it. This would be the right way. But he didn't want to go, for he knew his father would blame him for his carelessness. Frank decided he would not go to his father then. He would go and play with the boys a while. Perhaps his father would never know. At any rate, he wouldn't tell him right now. So he got up from the log and walked slowly towards the schoolhouse playground. Soon he was playing with the boys. In the evening, Frank went home and sat down at the supper table with the family. Soon after the blessing had been said, while his brothers and sisters were talking with each other about what they'd been doing through the day, Father turned to him and said, "Oh, Frank, did you carry the dollar?" "Yes, sir," answered Frank promptly. The question was asked so suddenly that he had no time to make up his mind what to answer. He felt less like telling the truth than he had at first. It seemed too hard. He thought to take the easier way by answering yes. The easier way. Poor boy, he hadn't learned yet that it was the hard way. Soon after supper, Frank went upstairs to bed. When he said his evening prayer, he didn't feel that God was listening to him, and he passed a restless night. In the morning, he woke up to find the sun shining into his room. Leaping out of bed in high spirits, he began to dress. Suddenly, he remembered the lost dollar, and this took away all his happy feelings. The day went by slowly. Frank was troubled by the fear that Father would find out about the lost dollar, yet he found it harder every hour to make up his mind to tell what had happened. In the evening, Frank could handle it no longer. The easy way had indeed become the hard way. While sitting in the front room, he made up his mind to go and tell his dad what had happened. He started towards the study where his father was. Every step in the right direction gave him new strength. He opened the study door and came to the table where his father sat writing. "Well, Frank," Father said kindly, "what is it?" "Oh, Father," said the boy, but he couldn't go on. He bowed his head upon the table and sobbed. In a few minutes, Frank raised his head and began again. "I want to tell you, Father," but it was too much. "Wait a minute, Frank. Let me tell you first," said Father. "You want to tell me that you did not carry the dollar to Mrs. Boardman, that you lost it on the way, that last night you told a lie about it, that you felt wretched all the time. You wanted to tell me, but you did not dare. Is that it?" "Yes, sir," sobbed Frank. "You wanted to take a way easier than the right way, yet you found it a great deal harder." Frank knew that this was true. He saw that he might have spared himself a great deal of uneasiness and sorrow by choosing the right way. To help Frank remember, it was decided that he should earn a dollar as soon as he could and take it to Mrs. Boardman. Frank set about earning his dollar, and before vacation was over, he carried it with a light heart to Mrs. Boardman. The strangest part of the whole matter was that while Frank was returning from Mrs. Boardman's, his shoe struck something hard. He looked down and he saw the dollar he had lost. So, doing what's right may seem the hard way, but in the long run, it is the easier way.